That beautiful song, beautiful prayer. Amen. Do you all agree with that prayer? Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 11, if you will. Jesus has been teaching his disciples about prayer. And right before the passage we're going to look at today, he'd given them a pattern for prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, where he told them that they could pray to their Heavenly Father and pray, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done." And that we could pray for provision and forgiveness and for protection. So he gave them a pattern to pray, and then continuing here in this passage we're going to look at today, he gives them more of a teaching about how they should pray. So that's what we're going to look at today. How should we pray? In Luke 11, beginning with verse 5. Would you stand to honor God's word today as we read the word? Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend and goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him.' The one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And we pray today, Lord, that you'll speak to us through your word. We want to hear the message you have for us today, so we open up our hearts and minds to receive it this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. After Jesus gave them this pattern of prayer, then he gave them a couple stories to help them understand how we should pray. How we should pray. First thing that we see here is that we must pray boldly. Boldly. You know, the story of a man going to a neighbor's house late at night to get bread sounds strange to us. But in that culture, in that day, hospitality was a huge thing. It was so important when someone came to your house that you showed good hospitality. If a friend came to you and you did not have bread for them, something to feed them, you would be greatly embarrassed. You just never did that. And so in this scene, this man goes, wakes up his neighbor who doesn't want to be awakened. He's sleeping. He bothers him and he won't stop until the man answers the door and gives him some bread so he can serve his visitor. He is bold in his approach. Now, the point of the story, as we'll see as we go through this, is God is not like this grouchy neighbor. He's not like this grouchy neighbor. God is very willing to give us what we need and answer our prayers. But we have to come boldly. We see that God is available. God is available. Jesus had taught his disciples they could pray to Abba, Father. Call God a father. He's your father. He's Abba. That is the way Jewish kids call their dad today in Israel, Abba. It's like daddy. We have a close relationship with our Heavenly Father. We can call him Father, and he's always available to us. Unlike the grouchy neighbor who was asleep and didn't want to be awakened, God is always awake, by the way, and he's always available. He's always available. The door to his throne room is always open. The welcome sign is always out. You can always come to him. He is always available. You know, do you know that God doesn't have an answering machine? He doesn't. Do you ever get annoyed with answering machines? You know, when you call somebody and they start talking, you think you're there, it's them, but it's their machine talking. And then, you know, I sometimes start talking before I'm supposed to start talking to leave a message on the answering machine. Then I realize I'm talking to a machine and I just want to hang up, you know. Anyway, God doesn't have an answering machine. He's always available all the time for us to come. The problem is never with his availability. The problem is always with us taking advantage of the availability and talking to God. Not only is he available, he's approachable. The grouchy neighbor in this story did not want to be bothered by this friend's request. Basically, that's what he's saying. Don't bother me. We're asleep. Go away. I'm going to ignore you. In contrast, God is always approachable. We can approach him. He's always available and approachable for us. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We've been given an invitation to approach God in prayer. It's an amazing invitation when you think about it. Now, it's up to us to accept that invitation. He's available and approachable. As we approach him boldly, we also come humbly because we know he is the Lord God Almighty. We're talking to the Lord of all the universe, the creator of everything, the almighty, awesome God that's worshipped in heaven and served by millions of angels who holds everything together. So we come boldly, but we also come humbly, knowing who we're coming to. With awe and reverence we come. As we come, we realize that God is willing to help us. Unlike the grouchy neighbor who is unwilling to help, God is willing to help. The point of the parable is if this grouchy neighbor is finally willing to help, how much more will our willing Father help us? He's willing to help us. The writer of the Psalms figured this out, that God was their helper. We see it throughout the Psalms. Psalm 48, 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Psalm 118, 7 says, the Lord is with me, he is my helper. Psalm 27, 9, you have been my helper, Lord. Psalm 33, 20, we wait for hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 40, 17, you are my help and my deliverer. And you can go on and on. It's a fascinating study. Study the Psalms and find how many times the psalmist calls God his helper. There's a lot of them. He got it. God is willing to help us. He is our helper. God is also generous in giving. He's generous in giving. The neighbor in the story was not generous. He just gave it because the neighbor wouldn't stop knocking on his door. He gave it at a frustration, and he wanted to go back to sleep. But in contrast, God is a generous God. He gives amazingly, answers prayer, and he's generous in his giving. Dr. Helen Roosevelt tells a story. She's a famous missionary, British missionary to Zaire in Africa. In her autobiography, Give Me This Mountain, she tells a story of one night when a mother died giving birth to her baby. The mother left not only a little premature baby, but also a little two-year-old daughter to care for. The place where the missionary was, there was no electricity, no place to keep the baby warm, and they were really worried that the baby would live, being it was premature. So they just held the baby tight and kept as close to the fire as they could for warmth. But in the morning, Helen went to the prayer time with the orphanage, the children that were there, and she told them about the baby and how serious it was and about the two-year-old little girl who had no mother. And a little girl named Ruth stood up and prayed the typical brutal directness of African children. She said, I left out part of the story, I need to back up. One of the assistants had brought Helen, had found a hot water bottle to keep the baby warm, filled it full of hot water, was bringing it to her and it burst and it was broken. There was no more in the whole place. So they needed a hot water bottle, but they don't really have those in Africa very much. So a little girl got up to pray, Ruth, and she prayed this. She said to the Lord, please send us a water bottle. Tomorrow will be too late because the baby will be dead by then, so please send it this afternoon. Helen took a deep breath because of the prayer's directness and then heard little Ruth continue, and while you're at it, would you please send a little doll for the little girl so she knows that you really love her? To be honest, Helen did not believe God would do that. Oh yes, God can do anything. She knew that theoretically. It's written in the Bible. But there are limits, aren't there? Helen hadn't received any parcel from home for 4 years. Further, if anyone sent a parcel, why would they send a hot water bottle to tropical Africa? Late that afternoon, she heard a car had come by the orphanage while she was away. Whoever it was left a package on the veranda of her living room. She could feel the tears welling up inside of her. She took it into the room where the girls were playing and looked inside. Apart from clothes and bandages, the parcel contained a hot water bottle. She could hardly believe her eyes. Helen just sat there and cried. She had seen no packages for 4 years, but today one came precisely when it was needed. She dared not even ask God for it, but little Ruth had. When the little water bottle was removed from the box, Ruth ran up to the front shouting, "If God sent the water bottle, he must have sent the doll." She dug to the bottom of the package and pulled out a beautiful doll. That package was mailed 5 months earlier before little Ruth prayed the prayer that it would come that afternoon. Don't we serve an amazing God? A God who gives and he gives generously. A God who knows what we need and when we need it. It's an amazing story. So we pray. We also pray persistently. That's part of the point of this parable, to pray persistently. The neighbor finally gave in to the neighbor's request because he was persistent. He wouldn't stop knocking. He wouldn't give up. And that is something that Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. Keep praying. Be persistent. Don't give up. Paul Harvey tells a story of a little 3-year-old boy who went into the grocery store with his mom. The mother told the little boy when she put him in the little seat part of the cart that even though the boy loved chocolate chip cookies, she said, "We're not buying chocolate chip cookies today. Just get that through your mind. We're not buying them." So they were doing fine going through all the aisles until they came to the cookie aisle. And the little boy stood up in the cart and said, "Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies?" And she said, "No. We already settled that. You were not buying chocolate chip cookies today. Sit down." They went through the rest of the aisles in the store and were doing good, except they missed something, and they ended up back in the cookie aisle again. And the little boy said, "Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" And Mom said, "No, we're not buying any chocolate chip cookies today." So they made their way through the store. We're going to the checkout counter. This is where the little boy sensed it might be his last chance. So before he got to the line, he stood up in the seat of the cart and shouted in his loudest voice, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies?" And everyone laughed in the store. Some applauded. And due to the generosity of the other shoppers, the little boy and his mother left with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. Persistence, right? Persistence is important. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 18, he told them a story or a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. There's an important thing about persistence here. Now, we don't pray with persistence for the same reason the neighbor knocked on the door next door. He was knocking to get the guy's attention. We already have God's attention, right? We pray for persistence for different reasons than that. We pray because persistence in prayer helps us to know God's will. Helps us to know God's will. When we pray, we don't always know what God's will is, do we? Jesus taught them right before this to pray, "Your will be done, your kingdom come." So when we pray, we want God's will be done. 1 John 5:14 says, "If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we will have what we asked of him." So it's important that we know God's will. And when we pray, we don't always know for sure what God's will is. So while we're persisting in praying over time, we can begin to learn what God's will is in this matter. God can work on us so we can understand God's will. You see, prayer is not a blank check where we can just get anything we want from God. Prayer is a time when we're to seek God and see what he wants to give us. What is his will? William Philip Brooks said, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, it's laying hold of God's highest willingness." William Temple said, "We do not pray in order to change his will, but to bring our wills into harmony with his." Persistence in prayer helps us to know God's will. Persistence in prayer also helps us to purify our motives, to purify our motives. You see, prayer is not designed to change God. It's designed to change us. As we pray persistently, we're putting ourselves before God, in the presence of God, allowing him to work in our lives. Like a sculptor that takes a block of stone and is chiseling away to, he alone can see what this can be. So as we put ourselves before God in persistent prayer, we're allowing God to be the master sculptor to work in our lives, to make us what only he can see we can be, and chip away to work, to purify us, to change us. As we persist in prayer, he can check out our motives, because James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. To me, that sounds like selfish praying. It's all about us. It's all about what I want. We're not praying, may your will be done. We're praying, may my will be done. So as we persist in prayer, God can work in that area too to change our motives. Why are we praying? What are we praying? Why are we praying it? What is our purpose here? God can use it. Persistence of prayer helps us to overcome our apathy. Do we really care about what we're praying about? Or are we just praying because we're supposed to, or, you know, it's what we do, or I promise somebody? We need to care about what we're praying about. And persistence can help that through time. We pray and we pray and we pray and we pray to where we come to a place where we can really be all in on that prayer. And we really care about what happens. We can overcome the lukewarmness of our hearts as we pray persistently. We should also pray passionately. People are passionate about a lot of things. People are passionate about their favorite sports team, or, you know, their favorite TV show, or their favorite author, favorite music, favorite restaurant, favorite, you know, all those things. I mean, whatever you're passionate about attracts you, doesn't it? We need to be passionate about prayer. We need to be passionate about prayer. Missionary Hudson Taylor was a missionary in China for many, many years, and his son wrote this about him. He said, for 40 years, the sun never rose in China when God didn't find Hudson Taylor on his knees. He was passionate about prayer. When we're passionate about prayer, we will seek, we'll ask and seek and knock, like Jesus said. And it's interesting, in the original language, did you know that those words literally mean keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking? You see, it's not just a little prayer event. It's a life. It's a life we live. We've been having a concentrated effort in our church for 10 days of prayer for revival. But you know, the point is, tomorrow when that 10 day ends, we're not supposed to stop. It's supposed to be a lifestyle where we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray passionately. We ask, bringing our requests to God. Bringing our requests to God. Even though God knows what we need, we still are told to ask. Isn't that interesting? Why would he want us to ask if he already knows what we need? Have you ever heard that? Because he wants us to trust him. And prayer is about a relationship. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to listen to us. He wants to talk to us. So we should ask. Even though he already knows what we need, we ask. Bring our requests before God. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We're invited to bring our requests to God in prayer. Billy Graham said these words, heaven is full of answers to prayer for which no one ever bothered to ask. Have faith in the God of the dream. Let's ask God to bring the dream to completion. God's answer is ready. It's just waiting for our own personal persistent request. We must ask, trusting in God. We seek, praying with sustained effort. Seeking seems to imply to me some effort. We seek, we're looking, ongoing, seeking. Trusting in God, we seek. Prayer is work. Take some effort to pray. Did you know that? You know, sometimes when I pray, it's just, I can be distracted so easily. I don't know if anybody else is, but I'm praying about something really serious, and man, my mind just, wow, it's off there somewhere. Well, how did I get there? I'm praying. And it takes work to bring the mind back into, okay, I'm praying. I'm talking to God right now. I'm not going to let that trail, and then another one takes off, you know? It can be a struggle sometimes to stay focused in prayer. Am I the only one, or do you relate here? Okay, amen. I need somebody else to admit it to. Had someone come up to me, talk to me after service about this very thing, and they were relieved to hear they were not the only ones that struggle sometime to stay focused in prayer. We seek. There's a sustained effort in praying where we're seeking God. The good news is, God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. With all your heart. He'll hear us. He'll answer. We'll find him. We knock, meaning we pray with continued resolve, continuing resolve. We're not quitting. We're praying. We're continuing to pray. Pastor Bill Hybels tells a story of his church. After a baptism service, there was an amazing baptism service, and he was leaving, going out down one of the stairwells, and met a lady who was weeping. And he said, why are you weeping? He said, are you okay? And she said, no, I'm not. She said, my mother was baptized today. She said, I'm weeping because I almost gave up on her. At the five-year mark, as I prayed for her for 20 years, at the five-year mark, I said, who needs this? God isn't listening. At the 10-year mark, I said, why am I wasting my breath? At the 15-year mark, I said, this is absurd. At the 19-year mark, I said, I'm just a fool. But I kept praying. I kept trying. Even with weak faith, I prayed. And she gave her life to Christ and was baptized today. And I almost gave up on her. She said, I will never doubt the power of prayer again. We need to keep praying, continuing to resolve. Someone said it this way, that when we pray, it's like God puts the answer on a kind of a conveyor belt out there somewhere. It hasn't come into this world yet, but it's answered. It's coming. It's coming. Someday it's going to break into our world where we can see the answer, but God answered is coming, and we need to persist. We need to keep praying with resolve till the answer comes. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Keep on praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. Pray continually. We need to keep praying. As we pray expectantly. We pray expectantly. Expecting God to hear us and expecting God to answer our prayer. We trust our Heavenly Father. We are not like the man in the story who goes to a neighbor who doesn't want to help. We are children of God who go to our Heavenly Father. God is not the unwilling neighbor. He's our willing Father ready to help us because we are His children. John 1:12 says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, when we're talking about Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. We have permission and access and the freedom to go to God in prayer because we are children of God. I remember when I was little and my dad worked in a store and his office was way in the back, I would run in and I never asked him to be permission to go into the boss's office. I just ran in because he was my dad. And he always welcomed me because I was his son. It's that way with God. God is our loving Heavenly Father, and we can run right into his presence, and he welcomes us because we are his children. If an earthly father, Jesus said, a good earthly father would never trick his children and give him a snake, give him a scorpion and trick them. If an earthly good father would never do that, how much more will our perfect heavenly father give us what we need? Jesus makes that story very clear. So when we pray, we trust our heavenly Father. When we believe that God will answer us, we pray with confidence, knowing God hears us and he will answer. Does that mean he always says yes? No, it doesn't. Doesn't mean he always says yes. Sometimes the answer is no, my friend. Sometimes it's no. And you know why it's no? Because God knows better than we know what we really need. Sometimes we ask God for snakes and scorpions in our prayers, and God's not going to give it. He's going to hold it from us because it's not what we need. It's not what we really need and what he wants to give us. So sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is not yet. Wait. Because there's things that need to happen. Especially when you're praying for people and things in people's lives, things need to happen, you know. Things need to happen in their life to help that prayer to be answered. So a lot of times it takes time for those things to happen, for that prayer to be answered. But we keep praying, even though God says not yet. And thankfully, sometimes God says, yes. I was waiting for you to ask. Yes. And he answers those prayers because they are what God wants to give us. They are in his will, and he answers us. We can always trust that he will answer us when we pray, but we trust that he knows best what we need, better than we even know. 1 John 3:22 says, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. We pray, trusting in God, that he will answer us. We know that God gives good gifts. Now, no earthly father would give their child a scorpion when they ask for an egg. Seems kind of weird. Or a snake when they ask for a fish. God is a good giver. He gives good gifts to those that call upon his name. We can trust him. He is a good, good father. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. God is a good, good giver. We can receive the gift of his Holy Spirit. Now, look at this. In this teaching of prayer, the last thing that Jesus says, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, why would Jesus put this right here when he's talking about prayer? It's an interesting question, isn't it? And you know what I think the reason is? Because this is the most important prayer we can ask God right here. It's the most important prayer we can ask. This is the most important thing he's teaching us all about prayer, is this prayer right here. To ask for the Holy Spirit. You see, when we ask God for the Holy Spirit, what he gives us is himself. He is the greatest answer to any prayer you can ever pray. We ask for the gift and he gives us the giver. We ask for strength and he gives us the one who strengthens us. We ask for wisdom and he gives us the source of all wisdom. We ask for help. And he shows up to help us himself. We ask for comfort, and he comforts us. We ask for provision, and the provider shows up. We ask for power, and the powerful creator of the universe is present with us. We ask for guidance, and the light of the world shows up to guide us. We ask for peace, and the Prince of Peace takes up residence in our hearts. We ask for joy, and the source of all joy moves into us. We ask for hope, and the living hope arrives in us. We ask for life, and the giver of sustainer of all life comes to live in us. We ask for victory, and the victorious king comes in us. We ask for love, and the one who loved us enough to die for us makes his home in us. We ask for clarity as we pray, and the Holy Spirit helps us as we pray. God is the greatest answer to any prayer you can pray. Amen. Do we get it? I think I just got this in a new way as I was studying this message. You see, it's not that God gives us strength. He is our strength. It's not that he gives us peace. He is our peace. It's not that he gives us joy. He is our joy. It's not that he gives us life. He is our life. It's not that he gives us anything particular. It's him he gives us through his Holy Spirit. So how much more should we pray for something that God guarantees he'll give us? Sometimes we don't know for sure if the answer is going to be yes when we pray. We know this answer is yes when we pray, Lord, give us your Holy Spirit. Now, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. You're born of the Spirit. It's a spiritual birth, and you have the Holy Spirit in your life. But I believe what Jesus is talking about here is the infilling of the Holy Spirit like happened at Pentecost. That we should pray for this fullness of the Holy Spirit given to us. You see, as you live your life as a Christian, you accept Jesus Christ as your life, as a Savior, as your Savior, and you live your life, there'll come a point in your life where Jesus suggests that you surrender to Him everything. That Jesus be not just your Savior, but He's your Lord. That Jesus is not just part of your life, make Him your life. That Jesus is just not a peripheral part, He is the center of your life. That Jesus is just not an addition, He is the one that's absolutely, perfectly in control of your life. And then you're at a point of crisis where you need to decide, will I surrender? Will I surrender everything that I am, everything that I have, everything that I will be, everything to Him? And let Him truly be the Lord of my life. Truly be the one that's in control of my life. And you know what happens if you pray that prayer and you trust God? He comes in and He fills you with your Holy Spirit. And you know what that practically means in practical terms? He's in control. You're under the control of the Holy Spirit because you've surrendered. And it says right here in the Word that if we pray it, if we ask it, God will give it to us. He'll give us His Holy Spirit. And I'll say it again. It's the most important answer to prayer you'll ever receive is this one right here. We've been praying for revival. But revival begins in our lives when we're really surrendered to God absolutely, completely, and we're filled with His Holy Spirit. And God comes in to control us, be in control. And we leave as new people. New people. It's a prayer that God wants us to pray. And this affects everything else in our lives and everything that we pray. Praying for the Holy Spirit. This really is the most important part of the message right here. We need to pray. We need to be people of prayer. But the most important prayer we pray is this one. Lord, I surrender. Give me your Holy Spirit in all of His fullness. Come in and take over my life. And then trust Him and see what He'll do. We're going to sing a song together and give you an opportunity to pray today. You can come pray about anything you want to pray about today. There could be some people that want to pray for the revival we've been praying about. But you know, revival, the only ones that we can be in charge of a revival is for us. We're praying for revival for our nation. But I've really become to understand throughout this time of praying that the only person I can let God revive is me. I'm praying for everybody else, but I need to let God revive me. I am responsible for me, and you're responsible for you. So it could be some of you this morning need to come to this altar of prayer this morning and just pray that prayer of surrender. Lord, you promised me you would give your Holy Spirit. I'm coming today. I want to surrender. I want to completely trust you and let you be truly the Lord of my life. And He will answer that prayer. And you can go in here, leave this place knowing that God is indeed in control of your life. And He's present to help you and guide you and use you. Let's stand together and sing this song of worship. You need to come pray. Come and let's pray together this morning.
Holy Spirit, pray.